about myself. My voice is not doing the best in the world, but I sure appreciate that. I could just sit and listen to y'all and listen to you. It's a blessing. It's a blessing when you've got a Savior to sing about that you believe. That you believe and you know it's true. Rather than just mouthing the words. It's all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Won't you take your Bibles, brethren? Let's go to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers 18. Numbers 18, we're going to look at verse 19. Numbers 18 and verse 19, again, as the Lord is instructing Aaron and his sons in their duties. Numbers 18, verse 19, the Lord says, "All the heave offerings of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord, have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee, and to thy seed with thee." Father, thank you. Give your word. Help us, Lord. Guide us. Direct us. Give us what we need. Instruct us now. Lord, this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here that's not born again, that's never been saved, Father, I pray, help them to see themselves as you see them outside of your salvation. Help them to see, Lord, how bad they really are. And Father, help them to see what you've done for them in the Lord Jesus. And Father, may the saints be helped and edified this morning. Have your way and will. I ask this, please, Father, according to thy will of the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated, brethren. All right. Numbers 18 and verse 19. The Bible says, "The Lord said to Aaron, all the heave offerings of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord, have I given thee. And thy sons and thy daughters with thee by statute forever." So, again, it's straightforward. There it is. The heave offerings were given to Aaron and his children and their descendants forever. That was theirs. Those heave offerings, the wave breast, the heave shoulder, that was theirs. That's what they got to him and his children. And I want to make the application in this way this morning, start out with. There, I want you to know, I want you young folks to know, there is blessing in being the child of a priest. What are you talking about? Well, listen, if a person's saved, they are a believer priest. And there's blessing. There is blessing in being the child of a believer priest. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:5 that He's made us, you know, a holy priesthood. He's made us priests unto Him. In the Old Testament, the priest, what did he do? He offered service and sacrifice. Well, when you're saved, you now have the ability to offer not physical sacrifices, but the Bible says spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You're able to intercede and bring folks before the throne of God. So if you're saved, you are a believer priest. And if you're here and your mom and dad are saved and you're not, or maybe you are or aren't, you need to understand what a great blessing it is to have for parents that are believer priests. You just don't understand. Go to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. I mean, listen. Aaron and his sons and his daughters, his children, they got the best of those offerings. The Lord got the best. But they got that part, that portion that was given to them. And that was a privilege of that. And they said, well, that sounds pretty. Well, you also understand they also had no certain dwelling place. They didn't have any place they could. They didn't have anything given to them like the rest of their inheritance. They didn't have any inheritance as far as their inheritance was the Lord. So you got to understand that. Look here, it all comes around there. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, though. Look at verse 14. "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy." Well, what in the world? How can a husband that's saved sanctify his unsaved wife? And how can a saved wife sanctify her unsaved husband? And the children referred to as being holy. How does that happen? Well, I believe we find some insight in the book of Job. Go to Job chapter 1. Notice that phrase, sanctified, sanctified, sanctified by the wife, sanctified by the husband. Job chapter 1. Some of you children in here that are still under mom and dad's roof, they're accountable for you. And they have to answer for you. And I guarantee you they're doing their best to pray for you, agonize over you, instruct you, and guide you. But there will come a day you will step out on your own. You are out from under that. And it's going to be you and God. You got mom and daddy's prayers covering you, and they'll continue to pray for you and try to cover you within prayers and instruct you. But someday it's going to be you on your own. And you had better learn to appreciate what you've got right now. You say, I tell you what I got, hush.
That's right.
Thank the Lord for what you've got.
Amen.
You have no idea what it could be like.
Right.
You have no idea what it could be like. Listen, if you've got a home where daddy ain't popping mama and busting her eye and busting her lip, and daddy ain't coming in drunk, and you ain't got to run and hide, and the bills ain't getting paid, you ought to get down and shed tears and say, God, thank you for what I've got in my home.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. Thank you so much that my daddy ain't a drunkard.
Yes, sir.
God, thank you so much daddy ain't drunk and embarrassing us. Thank you, Lord, so much that daddy ain't out here running around and it's just crazy that's going on. And he's not out on dope. And he's not out hitting the bars. And he's not out partying. Thank God that mama's not out. Thank God for what I've got in my home.
Amen.
You kids need to take a look here. You say it's not the best in the world. It could be a thousandfold worse.
Amen.
My goodness gracious. Listen, that's your mom and daddy. When's the last time you went and thanked God for them and told them that you thank them and you appreciate all that they're doing and trying to do? I tell you what, first chance I get, you rebel. You rebel. You're going to do different, huh? What? You know what? You take that kind of attitude, the problems you think mom and daddy's got, you'll do them and over. You'll multiply them. You understand me? You think you're going to be different? You got that rebellious attitude? You get out of that house, watch out. You go find out that what you thought you'd never be like, it's you. It's you. Unless you look to the Lord to change you and learn to be appreciative and thank God for what you've got, you're just setting yourself up. There is privilege and blessing and being in the home of a believer priest. You just wait. You little brat. Let me tell you something. You just wait till you got one youngin someday and you are agonizing over every decision you make. You wait till you got children, you are agonizing and tearing your hair out and going before God and crying and wanting to make sure that you're trying to make a right decision, yet not be oppressive and know how much leeway to give and know when yet to pull the hammer down. You wait till you do that and feel like half the time you're not doing it right and don't know what to do. You wait! You better learn to appreciate it right now.
Amen.
And thank God for it. Youngins, I love you. Can I ask you something? You want God to give you a child like you are one day? Do you want God to give you a child like you are one day? I think about that real good and hard. Job 1, you look at this. Job 1, verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. That impresses me. These boys are grown and got their own homes. I'd imagine the girls do too, but I know the boys here do. 7 miles. And you know what? Instead of saying, psh, man, I know they want their sisters to be around them. Now let me tell you something. You say, well, my family don't want me around them. My brothers and sisters don't want me around. How come? If you're a whiner, if you're a complainer, if you're all the time wanting to be the center of attention, who'd want to be around you? If your language is not like it ought to be, if you always listen about worldly things, Again, if you're a whiner, complainer, if everything's got to be your way, if it's always got to be, my, who would want to be around you? Now think about that real good. Think about that real good and hard. Well, family just ought to be all get out of here. Huh? What are you talking about? Well, you can love everybody, but you can't have devotion there. Unless there's something there that makes you, that fosters that devotion. I'm your sister, you're supposed to love me. Oh. I can love your soul. But how about you being lovable?
Amen. That's good.
I'm your grandpa, you're supposed to love me. Well, I love your soul. But how about making yourself lovable? Folks, look here. Quit fooling around with this stuff. Sometimes you just got to get alone with yourself and God and say, Lord, I am my problem.
That's right. Amen.
I am my problem. I am my own worst enemy.
Yes, sir.
Why would you want a situation where you have to demand something from somebody? Who wants that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you want that? What good is that? You should come, but listen, it should come. Man, look here. That's Calvinism on a human level. Seriously. You really want that? It should be that you should listen. You should so live and so do that you hope they'll return love for love shown. He will demand that stuff. Look here, brethren. Look what it says in verse 5, Job 1 verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. Now look, we just read 1 Corinthians that the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they're holy. Well, your Bible says Job sanctified his children. Well, how did he do it? Look what it says. And rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Man. Now, his boys are grown. But you know what he did? Now, that doesn't mean that Job could get forgiveness for them. It just means Job is interceding in the sense of, Lord, have mercy, spare him, Lord. God, give him another chance. Wake him up. Lord, don't take them out. Lord, I don't know. Maybe my boys was having a feast there and all the family. And Lord, maybe they got a little loose. And Lord, who knows? Maybe they cursed you in their heart. And oh God, please, I'm just interceding for them. Thus did Job continually. What a man. What a man he was. That's what, listen. And let me tell you something, young folks, look here. You understand, you got a mom and daddy praying for you. And mom and dad, if you're not, get to it. If you've got weary and feel like, what's the use? Get to it. Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't stop. Young folks, you need to realize, listen, there could have been times you could have been out of this life, but somebody was praying for you. You've heard me mention before that Oliver B. Green said more than one occasion, he came in where he could have been killed, should have died, and come home and find out his sister had been up praying for him. God had nudged her and said, pray for Oliver. Pray for Oliver. And just had interceded there. There's no telling how many times that could have happened to you that you're not aware of. There is blessing in being the child of a believer priest. Advantages are afforded to you, but will you take advantage of them? Will you avail yourself of them? Are you thankful for what you have in being raised in a saved home? Seriously, are you thankful for it? Well, I tell you what. No, I'll tell you what. You just don't understand. You just don't understand. You don't understand how it could be. The Bible says to everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Please, young folks. You need to get off Facebook. Get off that social networking stuff. Get off all that stuff that's trying to tell you how bad you got it and how nobody cares about you and how your parents don't care and how bad it is. And you need to get away from that stuff and get on your knees and thank God for what you got.
Amen.
all that stuff. You want to set you up for? You can always find somebody on one of them stinking rotten sites who's tell you how bad it is. They'll tell you how bad it is, and they'll tell you, you know, how that you're being done wrong, and oh, you just need to, and they'll just fuel that stuff. Nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. But they'll tell you, but I care. Get in a pig's eye. In a pig's eye. They don't care for you. They don't even know you. If they got to know you, they'd drop you like a hot potato. Now listen. I'm not trying to be mean. What I'm saying is they don't know you. They're just out for themselves and they're playing to your vanity. And you don't care if some of you girls will hook up with some guy out there. Some of you girls are going to hook up with some guy out there. He's looking for one thing.
Amen.
Or he's some psycho.
Yes, sir.
Now, you understand, I'm talking about balance here. I thank God for what we've got. Brother Jamie set up with those things that we can use that thing as a tool. Praise God. But you know what I'm talking about right now.
Yes,
you know what I'm talking about. Listen, and you girls, they will especially pray on you. Now, I don't know why I'm going this route right now, but I am going there. You know something? Let me tell you something. You know what? Take your Bible. I ain't even got my notes on this thing, but we're going somewhere else. Go to the book of Judges. We're going to the book of Judges. Man, I was sitting at the house this week. And the Lord gave me something. And I didn't know when he wanted me to do it. And I tucked it in my Bible Wednesday night. The Lord didn't give me liberty. And I definitely didn't think that it would be something that would be for Sunday morning. And I don't have the notes with me. But I believe the Lord wants us going this way.
Amen.
Take your Bible. Let's go to the book of Judges chapter 16. And I want to preach to you a little bit about the web and the pen. The web and the pen. Judges 16, look at verse 13. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pen and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pen of the beam and with the web. You see, what happened? She wanted to sap his strength. Well, there were others who wanted to take his strength from him. And they got through her and used her.
Yes, sir.
And what she's going to try to use to get him is the web and the pen. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the devil sapping your strength through the web and some things like Pinterest. The web and the pen. I didn't say there's nothing wrong with it per se. It's a tool. I don't even know how that Pinterest things work. But I tell you this right now. I don't know if I've even seen it maybe one time. But I tell you this. The devil will use it to sap your strength. There's liable to be some of you. You know what? You're spending time after time after time after time pinning all kind of stuff that could be done in the Word of God with your family, and you are wasting time. I don't know if you are or not. I think my wife's got some recipes for marriage. That's fine. Listen, I'm telling you. You just listen to what I'm saying. Through the web and the pen, she was trying to sap his strength from him. And I don't know how that thing goes, but I'm going to tell you something. Look here. I don't know. But evidently, you can put stuff on that stuff. Or maybe your children can put things on that thing. And if you name the name of Jesus Christ, do you think that when you get on a computer, you can be different? Huh? That's like a nonsense sometimes when people think they can go on vacation and live another life. What's wrong with you? You think you get on a computer and now you can be different? And you can say things, do things, go and do things that's okay, that's not okay other times? Now, I don't know. I just keep myself, honestly, I keep myself narrow, man. I keep myself near the stuff I go to. I do. I don't go a lot of things. And by the way, your pastor ain't checking up on you. I'll treat you like an adult. I ain't checking up. I don't got no little body going in and trying to. But I tell you what, I just know how it goes. You better watch yourself. Your sin finds you out.
Amen.
The web and the pen. You know what I believe. I'm telling you, it's balance. It's balance. It's a tool. But there's always this wild new stuff coming in. I'm telling you, you will find your spiritual life being sapped.
Yes, sir.
You will sit there, and I don't know even how it works, but I'm telling you, in my mind, I caught this thing, I couldn't get away from it. A web and a pen, a web and a pen. I'm pinning. And I don't know, but you let the Holy Ghost speak to you. Look at this. Verse 13, he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. You see, she was going to take that web, the web, and she was going to weave those locks of his head in that. Do you know your Bible warns you about, listen, Bible warns you about being entangled with the affairs of this life. You know what she's doing? Samson's laying there. See, Samson, see, here's Samson's problem. Samson is toying with her. Samson is not an idiot. Samson is a judge of Israel. That man, he's not an idiot. It's just he thinks, I got this thing. And so, he's there. And by the way, he hooked up with her after he'd been whoring around. Read your Bible. Earlier he had been in the harlot's house there, and next thing you know, he's met up with Delilah. She's not exactly a paragon of virtue, my friends. She's not exactly a pillar of righteousness that we see. But Samson thinks, I got this thing. So he's there, and you can see it. I mean, man, come on. Because some of the looms, you know, they would use, sometimes they'd be kind of like hand looms that are kind of small and all like that. And so she's there, and you can see it. She just running her fingers through that hair. Just, you know. I bet you, I mean, and you know Samson was, because look here. You know that felt good. I bet you when she started with, if you got hair enough to weave, then you know what? That felt good, no doubt. Ain't you ever had, look here. I know when I had hair. Sometimes, you know, boy, you get your head rubbed. You know, that feels, look here. I know Bethany. When she stayed with us, I find her sometimes, or she'd get her sister to jerk her head. I said, what in the world? She goes, feels good to have my hair pulled. Feels good to have her hair pulled. I guess, well, you know, some people, whatever floats your boat, man. But, you know, but look here. So, but can you imagine that big old head of hair? I bet when she's rubbing his hair. He's rubbing his hair. Now, you know what? I guarantee you, he knew when she was weaving it in that web. She knew what he was doing. Because look here, you ain't going to weave a man seven locks of his head in a web and him not know what's going on. I bet it felt good. Honestly, I bet it just felt good. And I bet inside he was going, that crazy girl, she thinks. She thinks I don't see any of this. Whatever. You know, and Samson gets up and takes the, you know, the web and the pin of the beam, the whole thing, you know, and goes off and fends himself. But he's toying with her. That computer is a tool. It's not a toy. If you toy with it, you're going to get hurt.
Amen.
I use it as a tool. I use it as a tool. I've told you before, there are tools in your toolbox that are not toys for your children to play with.
Amen.
Which one of you men would plug in a power saw and let your four-year-old play with it? You would think of it. Which one of you would take your power tools and your tools and let your you would not do it. It's a tool. It is not a toy. It is so powerful and so dangerous. You cannot... Brethren, I love you. I'm just trying to help you, honestly. Brethren, I'm trying to be balanced. I'm not standing up here saying, you better pack that thing up and bust it. I'm not saying that. Some would. I think it's a little unbalanced. It's a tool. Use it as a tool. But you have got to have the restraint and self-control and yieldness to the Lord. And know that you're not, listen, that thing will eat you alive. The pen and the web. It took, he was being used to sap his strength. That's what they're hoping to do. Pull his strength. The devil wants to, he wants to sap, he wants to drain away your spiritual strength. You know what? There are sites, there are places, there are times. Look, I don't know. I mean, guys, look here. I don't know how it works. But if you, I've heard the phrase, and if you pin in a recipe, great. Pin one. But don't spend all day doing that.
Amen.
Sisters, if you have time to sit in front of that thing and spend half your day doing that, it ain't right. That time should be spent close to God, with your kids, around the house. There are things you don't have to... Listen, you should not be letting the time just go and go and go and go.
Yeah.
You will sit there, something will get your attention, and next thing you know, you don't think the devil... Listen. He is popped up. He's there. He's looking. He's like, it's right here. He's looking. He's like one of them gargoyles, but he's watching. He's going, oh, they had an argument. Hey! They had an argument this morning. Oh, yeah. They had an argument. You know what? Where she's going to be pinning today, we'll throw this up there. We'll get a little something there where maybe somebody's lonely or wanting to talk. You understand? He's watching. I mean, grabbed up there just like he's watching. He's watching. He's watching. Oh, you're being melodramatic. I love you. He's watching. And he's looking for the opportunity. He knows, brethren. He knows when things are going. You've got the pen and the web, brethren. Look here. Getting entangled with that. Did you know something? I believe there's an... I wish I had my notes on it. But I believe there's another verse in the Bible referring to this kind of thing, referring to this similar kind of thing. I may even use the word network. Network. I mean, think about the wording of this stuff. Think about the wording of this stuff. Net, web. But I mean, hey! It's a tool. It's a tool. But you've got to have character. You've got to have character. You've got the Lord. And listen, and you've got to be honest with yourself. And if you need to take and make some super changes in your life, then you need to. Brother, listen. Yes, indeed. Bible said, if thou art a man, give it the appetite, put a knife to thy throat. Look at others. Take some measures. Take measures that need to be taken. You say, well, brother, how come this brother don't have to? Hey, maybe he don't have the same problem you got. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. Some guy can handle something another guy can't. Just know yourself before God. Be honest.
Amen.
Don't worry about nobody else. Don't worry about what they can do or can't do. Worry about you. Listen. She weaved that thing. Seven locks of his head, the web. Verse 14, then she pinned it. She pinned it. She fastened it with a pin. Please, let's don't go out of here. John, Pastor Doss did not say that you're not supposed to go in there. You can't look at a red. I didn't say that. But I'm telling you, the Lord this morning had me go around with this thing. How much time are you spending on it? What are you pinning? What kind of stuff are you putting? What kind of stuff are you saying? What kind of stuff are you? What are you? What kind of picture is being put about yourself? I tell you this. I have had people before come to me and say, "Preacher, I don't understand. Sometimes I see things from Christians that I'm like, I thought I knew you. I thought, look here, watch this." And said to him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." "Yeah, right, like you care." And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Now, can I show you something real quick? Just real quick. I want you to notice what happened here with Samson. The Bible says, he awaked out of his sleep, went away with the pin of the beam. Oh, a couple of things there. First of all, he woke out of his sleep. That's good. That was a good thing. Samson woke up. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Verse 14. "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Take your Bible, go to Romans 13. And I want to tell you something, brother. You know what? The Lord gave me this thing. Just put it on my heart and mind. I think it was Tuesday. I had it with me Wednesday night. Wouldn't let me do it. I sure didn't plan on doing it this morning. But I believe He wants it done. Romans 13, verse 11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." The coming of the Lord is drawing nigh closer and closer every day. Brethren, it's time to be getting closer to God, not getting more dull. It's time to be getting sharper, not more dull. Man, it's time to be getting closer to God, not farther away. It's time to be sharpening. It's time to wake up. Amen. Now you know what? The web and the pen. And she lulled him to sleep. She's running fingers through that hair. And he's just like, "Hey, but you know what? You know what happened?" He wasn't stupid. But he thought, "I can handle it. I can handle it." But there's some things you can't handle. You can't handle. Listen. And if you can't handle it, and it's causing you turmoil, get shed of it. Yes, just be man enough, woman enough, to say, "You know what? That's just a problem I got. I just, until the Lord develops me later on, or maybe it changes down the line, maybe the best thing for me to do would be to give it to somebody else to hold for me a time being. Get rid of it. Just go to the library when I need to use a computer." Or what? I'm just saying. I didn't say everybody had to do that. I know there's some people on this earth need to. I know there's some folks need to. Because you can't handle it, trips them up. They can't handle it. They can't. And until the Lord works more in their life and they allow the Lord to work more, and until they get to a spot, right now that thing is just too much of a problem. Some people, something else. I told you, some guy was ate up with chest, I heard about before. Some people, something else. But I'm telling you, some people, I think the Lord would bless. I think the Lord would just say, "I'm going to bless you for that.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to bless you for that.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to bless you for taking that kind of step." I'm not saying everybody needs to. I'm not. But I tell you what, some folks do. Because you're being lulled to sleep. Being lulled to sleep. It says, he woke up. Look what it says next. It says, and over in Judges, it says, and went away. It says he woke up, and then the Bible says he went away. He went away, and let me get back over there myself. Judges 16. It says, he waked out of his sleep and went away. Amen. I mean, in my notes, I had some of the verses down, but the Lord just wants us to go ahead with this. I mean, look at the times the New Testament, the Bible tells you to flee. He went away. Well, the Bible says, flee fornication. Flee youthful lust. Flee. Look at the times the New Testament, the Bible says, flee. Right now, Samson done two smart things. He did. He woke up and he went away. That's good. In fact, he woke up ready to fight. That's good. I mean, Delilah. Boy, there's a name ain't nobody going to name her young. If I got any smarts, huh? Who in the world? Like Jezebel, man, huh? Delilah. This is me, Bobby Samson. You rotten, low down rip.
Amen.
You sorry thing.
Amen.
Like you really care about Samson. You sorry thing. You know, listen, the old rat Fink, you know what she's going to do later on? She goes, Samson, you don't love me. It's a wonder I ain't dead yet. And I don't love you. Be that as it may. The first thing to be upon thee, Samson. Samson woke up, he ready to fight. You know what? Some of you need to wake up. You need to wake up and you need to get ready to fight. You need to get ready to fight. Do you know what? You're lollygagging. You are lollygagging around. You are just kind of la la la. And you don't realize you're in a fight. And you need to arm up, square up, and realize you're in a battle. And hold on! Jesus is coming back. But fight the good fight. Samson got up. He woke up, got ready for battle. And then the Bible says he went away. And there's some things, you know what? You need to get away from. There may be some sights the Holy Ghost is telling you need to get away from. There's some sights, some places you need to get away from. Samson went away. But look what it says. He went away with the pin and the web. He went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. What do you mean, Brother Dawson? Again, I told you it's a tool. But it's not a... That stuff's hanging off his head. That stuff is hanging off the man's head. Brethren, can you imagine swinging a little hand loom or something like that? I don't know. Somebody today might like it. So many things people have hanging on them. That might be, you know, that would have probably gone over today. But think about it. Think about it. Samson's woke up. Samson's ready to fight. Samson goes away. But the problem is, he's weighted down with the web and the pen. Could it be that the web and the pen is a drag on your life right now? It's a drag on you. It's weighing you down. I didn't say that it's totally evil. I didn't say it. I said, could it be the web and the pen are a drag on you right now? They're weighing you down. Could it be? Pulling on your time. Pulling on your spirituality. Pulling on your home life. Ladies, look here. I tell you what. I'd be an upset hombre if I come home and dinner wasn't done because she had been on that thing. I'd say all the recipes in the world are fine, but what good they doing me when dinner, you know what I'm saying? I can't eat the paper. Just being honest. I mean, think about it. So, gals, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not. I'm saying, look, if the time's been taken when you're supposed to be doing, make sure the web and the pen ain't being a drag on you and sapping time and energy and strength and your spirituality. Our Father, Lord, I know more could be done with this, I'm sure. Lord, I've just tried to mind you today. Lord, please, any and everything that's been said this morning that's in accordance with your will, burn it upon our hearts and minds. Lord, that this stuff is killing the saints. Lord, it is sapping spiritual strength. Lord, Lord, I don't know. I think sometimes, Lord, I wonder if it needs to be weighed out. Is the benefit I'm getting from this worth the junk? Well, maybe we need to ask sometimes, how much benefit am I getting? Lord, I know it's a tool. I understand. I know that. And Lord, I want balance. Lord, help the brethren to see the dangers here. Lord, that thing can become such an addiction. Father, you are able to set free from addictions. You're the great physician. You're the captain of our salvation. You came to set the captives free. Father, help us, Lord, to be honest with you where we need to be. Lord, help us and have your way and your will with all that's been said and done. Lord, don't let us take it lightly or forget what's been put forth. I ask this, Father, according to thy will, in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.